How many of you have ever either for a costume party or you were in a play or Halloween or something like that, have ever put on a costume, like got dressed up to pretend like you were somebody else? Who's done that before, right? Most everyone has done that in some way, shape, or form in their lives. And it can be super fun for at least a little while to like dress up and do all the things and have fun and pretend like you're someone else. But eventually, if you were to continue to do that, it's pretty exhausting, right? If you were to have to every day pretend that you are someone that you are not, or put on an identity, or try to function on a regular basis trying to pretend you are someone else, it would be exhausting. You could do it for a little while, but eventually it would just become a burden to pretend like you're someone that you are not. No longer is it fun or invigorating like the one fun party, but now it's wearing you out. That is the idea that this text is going to tell us. It wants to lean into this idea of identity. And what this text is going to say over our lives is in Christ, we have been fundamentally changed with a brand new identity. You have been fundamentally, I have been fundamentally changed when you give your heart over to this King. When he comes and takes up residency in and with us, he fundamentally transforms our lives. And what the scripture says there, and you can look right in your Bible, says, look up, come up. You've been raised with Christ. Ephesians says the same thing, that you are not just raised with him, but seated with him in heavenly places, meaning this is who you are. This is your identity now. You've been raised up, you're seated with him, and your life is now hidden in him. That you and I go away, and what forms and what comes from that is a brand new life. Meaning no more trying or pretending to be someone that you're not. No more trying to measure up. He has measured you up. No more trying to be righteous. He has given you righteousness. This is who you are now. It is fundamentally a part of your identity. And the challenge we all feel is, I still feel like I have to do this and to accomplish that in order to be okay. Okay with the people around me and okay with God. And church, that is the essence of what sin does. That's the essence of sin, is trying to be someone I am not. Living out in some sense, on my own terms, my own abilities, my own steam, living my own life. It is the pain of trying to dress yourself up on the regular in order to be acceptable to God, to each other, to try to find hope or life, and it never, ever works. Romans 10 says it really clearly. That we can try to do things on our own, but it always ends up. We try to do our own righteousness even, and it always ends up. Romans 10 says, for being ignorant of the righteousness of God and seeking to establish our own, they did not submit. We do not submit to God's righteousness. In other words, we try to create our own. We spin our wheels in order to be good, to be right, to be seen, to be accepted. And this text is saying, lay down the trying, the creating for yourself, and instead receive a gift, not your rightness, his rightness, his righteousness. Your life is hidden with him. And what you have now comes from him. What comes from him? His righteousness. Now, I want to talk about righteousness. Because when we tend to think about, I don't know how you tend to think about righteousness, but what I tend to think is really clean, really crisp, maybe like a really well-ironed shirt, right? Like got everything, all the wrinkles ironed out. Everything's good. There's no messiness. You've got all this perfection. But that's actually not the narrative of the word righteousness in Scripture. Righteousness is not about your perfection. Righteousness is actually about your relating. Righteousness is about relationship. It's actually relational. It's a word that means to be right with someone. The idea of righteousness is not your clean, crisp life. The idea is you are received. You have favor. You are welcomed. You are brought in. The righteousness of God is to be brought in, to be made a part of the family, to be made right with him. Therefore, the opposite of righteousness isn't immorality. The opposite of righteousness is rejection. To be on the outside, to not be seen, to not be brought in. That's what we once were. We were rejected. We were alone. We were on the outside, but Jesus did something. He came in to our messiness. And he said, you don't have to be on the outside. You don't have to be on the outside. You can have my rightness with the Father. You can have mine. I give it to you. That by faith, by believing and trusting, every broken thing about you was cast into the outer darkness. And your broken life is gone, and you are now hidden in him, that what you have comes from him. It's a gift that's given. It's his righteousness. I don't know how many of you have ever shown up to an event where you were not dressed like the rest of the people at the event. Have you ever done this before? Have you ever gone to a thing and you found out that what you have on is not appropriate? It's one of the worst feelings when you walk in and you're like, I'm the only one here and I didn't get the memo, right? And you feel completely singled out. Like there's something wrong with it. Is excruciating, is it not? Right? This is why we now text each other, what are you wearing? Right? That's what we do, because no one wants to show up with this feeling of like, I'm the one on the outside. There's this people and I'm out. And the scripture here is saying you've got this new identity that in Christ, you never, ever, ever have to show up again exposed, alone. You no longer have to live a life where you're afraid of being unseen, uncovered. You get to be accepted, covered, made right with the Holy One of the ages. This is your new identity. And he's inviting us to walk in the fullness of it. This is who you were made to be. You can walk in this. And so what God wants to do in covering us and removing the rejection and giving us his rightness, this is what Jesus did, he gave us his rightness. What he wants to do is he takes aim then at the heart. And he's saying, okay, so everything that you've been carrying that is broken Everything that you have walked in before, you can let it go. He's saying, let it go and receive something different. And what he's going to do here in our text this morning is the Spirit of God is going to list all the ways all of us have tended to try to hold on to our own lives. And most of what we're about to, we'll reread it here again, we'll identify with in some way. Everything that's actually listed here. Some of these might be pieces of your past. They might even be parts of what you wrestle with even or struggle with today. It might even be temptations that you find yourself facing in the future. But all of this is going to describe what it means to be apart from God. And so God just wants to take aim, says, okay, I've transformed you from the inside out. So here's the question. Will you believe and then live from this brand new identity? To not pretend, to not fake a life, but to live out of the fullness of what I have given. So he says, put to death. You can look at verse 5. All of this stuff, or the ways in which we walked apart from Jesus. Sexual immorality and impurity and passion and evil desire and covetousness, which is just idolatry. And there's anger and wrath and malice and slander and obscene talk and all those things and lying. And he's saying, what he's saying is, okay, these were your old clothing. This is what you put on. This is what you walked in. They were your identity. They were your old way. And to put to death means to say, to shed, if you will, this clothing that you and I have carried, the ways that we used to show up to life. And I just want to, if I could, just to point to this list, right? This is what we do when we're clamoring for our own life. You can look at this list. This is what we all do. This is what humanity does when we're trying to get control, right? When we're trying to find life, and we go seek it out in incredibly broken ways. And God is saying, you put to death, put off of you, remove the broken clothing. You don't have to carry this any longer. And the invitation is to have something else. All of this is gone. You don't have to show up to the world this way anymore. Like showing up to a black tie affair in your cargo jorts or something like that, right? That's what he's saying. Put it off. This isn't who you are. That the jealousies that you wrestle with, you don't have to carry that any longer. That's what's been purchased for you. Or the malice or slander or whatever it may be. And the challenge here is this. You and I can't fix it. It's actually just a heart matter. In the flesh, you can do nothing, but in Christ, he transforms and changes everything. He does it. It's his work. To put to death the works of the flesh is not to pretend or try harder. It's actually to open up our lives and to yield and to let the Lord change and transform us. And so the question we ask is, what do we do when this old way of life wants to reemerge? What happens when something from that list wants to try to grab you by the throat and pull you down and drag you back into the old identity that you no longer have, that's not a part of who you are anymore? And what we get to see over and over and over through the beauty of Scripture, it's really simple, because you can't fix it yourself. I want to just say this. You can't make that list go away. Don't have enough power in your human hands to make it go away. So when you find something of the old way trying to wreak havoc in you, what do we do? And the scripture will tell us really clean. Here's the answer. Don't pretend. Don't hide. Tell the truth. Don't pretend. Don't hide. Just tell the truth. When gossip or slander about a coworker feels so good in your own self-righteousness, the opportunity is there to be released from the broken thing. You don't have to show up to that party anymore. That's not who you are. When the jealousy for someone else's promotion or the temptation is there to let that thing fester in you, it's welling up in you, or the little white lies that you like to tell to try to fashion the image that we have with other people, all of those unique and little ways that we'll face all the time, when we get it out there and expose it, bring it forward, when we tell the truth, to say, Lord, I want to be seen. I do want to belong. I do want to matter. But I keep showing up with this thing that's broken. You want to know how you put something to death? You just say it out loud. And you say it to God, and we get to say it to someone who loves us and is for us. People are always talking about, all right, all this identity in Christ stuff sounds amazing. This transformation that he's done in us. But I still feel this pull in my own flesh to go my own way or to live. How do I stop doing it? You want to know? Say it. Get it out there. Tell it to the Father. So this doesn't get to live inside of me under the cover of darkness. That's not who I am any longer. I bring it forward to you, God. That's why we love the Psalms, isn't it? We love the Psalms because King David is saying, I'm a mess, God, and I'm hurt, and I'm frustrated, and my sin is ever before me. What can we do? Oh, but your unfailing love lasts forever. You actually want to see and experience real life transformation. This is it. Get really real and honest. 1 John 1 just says, if we'll just confess what is broken in us, God is faithful and just to forgive, to cleanse from all what unrighteousness or anything that would make us not right. James 5, this is a powerful text. This is a powerful scripture. Therefore, confess your sins one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. It's powerful. It's the opportunity to be honest, to say it. Lord, here's what I'm wrestling with. Here's the struggle. I'm jealous. Help me. I don't like that person. Help me. Right? All of the things that we can bring before the Lord, we get to say it. And Jesus gets to say, brother, sister, son, daughter, your life is hidden with me, and I cover you and I receive you again. He's the safest place to be able to go. In the most practical way I could say this to you, find friends who will be a safe place for you, where you can be honest and love you enough to call you up. I'm gonna say that again. Find friends. I think this, by the way, this is like why we're here. We could create a group of friends to be able to do this. Find friends who will be a safe place for you to be able to put to death all of the things. The way we put it to death is we just acknowledge it. I just confess. Here's what's going. Here's what's broken. I'm so sad. I don't want to be this way. It feels like it's got a grip on me. I want to get it out. And I say it to you, brother, sister, and I bring it before the Lord to let my heart be cleansed. It's a powerful reality. It is a scary and vulnerable thing. But the truth is, if we want the scripture to move from beautiful kind of idea in the cloud to something that is real and pulsing through our veins, it comes through this radical honesty where we don't, like Adam and Eve, run and hide, but we bring our lives before the Lord. And what does Jesus do? He gives you his righteousness. What an exchange every day. What an exchange. You and I can have literally every day. I feel like we need it every day. Yeah. Every day. Make the exchange. And then you will blow it because you're human. I will blow it because I'm human. And we will come back and again exchange. And this is the beautiful, if you want to do, like, how do I do this not in my self-righteousness? How do I do this in full in his righteousness? I bring it to him. I come to him and I ask him to change and transform me. And then when we have done that, it says, then you get to put on the new self. Verse 12. Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved. That's who you are, by the way. Now, just, you can skip over that. Just real quick. This is what God is saying about you. Put on then. So it's new outfit. New outfit. You're no longer showing up to the black tie affair in your cargo jorts, okay? No more. You are now showing up fully covered in him. Holy. You're chosen, holy, beloved. Put on then compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, bearing with one another, forgiveness for each other. Above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And in other words, this is not something that you and I create. It's not something that you and I conjure up. In other words, if I told you, if I stood here and said, you need to be more compassionate because the Bible says, be more compassionate. Every one of us is going to go away going, okay, crud. All right, pastor kind of told me I got to be more compassionate. I guess I don't like that guy very much. So, hey, guy. What do you do? How do you create compassion? How do you do it? How do you create kindness? How do you create humility? Here's the answer. You can't. There it is. But your life is hidden with Christ. And he has endless amounts of compassion and kindness and humility. We don't have it. He has all of it. And he's just ready to give it away. He keeps going back to these heart matters. He's just talking about heart stuff. Changing the outside is easy. God's not aiming for the outside, going for the inside. The problem with the inside out transformation is that God's moving and shaping and forming and growing, and we don't like the process, and we certainly don't like the timing. We would all like for it to all be perfect tomorrow. And should the Lord tarry, you won't be perfect tomorrow or the next day or the next, but we'll be shaped into his image. And then here's what's amazing. We'll just finish with this, and then we're just going to get to just getting to be with the Lord. He's going to literally outline this process of how we just put on. How do we put on this new self? And he just talks about it. And here's what he's going to say. Here's the most amazing word. He's going to say, let. Let God do this work in you. Let. And effectively what he's going to say is, will you today enter into a partnership where God has access, permission to come and have his way? Because here's what he says. Look at your Bibles in verse 15. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you are called in one body, and be thankful, and let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your heart. And whatever you do in word or deed, in everything, in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So just wanted to give us these. Here's core habits. You want to put on new identity. If you want to put on like this new cloak, new identity to walk in the fullness of it. He just gives it to us. Says, number one, just let peace cover you. Let peace. Meaning let means you got to open your hands up to receive it. Meaning I don't have it, but you have it. So let. Let him wash you in peace. It's a partnership. It's an invitation. You can't create it. You're looking at circumstance. It doesn't work. But you can let. Open, receive the peace. Let his word sink in deep. That's why we open the word of God. It's not so we can get our Bible reading points for the day. We open the word to let it have its way. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. The words of the Father are the most important words for you to receive today and tomorrow and all week long. And then I love what it says. Let faithful friends scuff you. That's my own interpretation of the scripture here. But what that means is there's flattering friends. And they're kind of nice. Because they tell you your hair looks so good all the time. But we also need friends that are just going to be like, hey, those jorts don't work on you, you know? You know what I'm saying? Come on. Or just somebody who's willing to say, hey, this is not working on you. Meaning, hey, I love you. It feels like there's something that's broken or something's worrying you. How can I pray for you, come around you? Faithful friends are the ones who you can be real with each other. So we have faithful friends. We thank God for that. Let songs arise. I love this one. I love that this is a part of this list, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. You know that what we do when we, I mean, one way we do that is on Sundays. I encourage you to have songs, sing songs in your car and house and every other place. But do you know that when we gather here, I'm so grateful for preaching, but do you know that singing here together is so important? So important. And if you're not a music person or whatever, this is a great, it's important for us to gather to be able to do this. Let gratefulness remind you of his goodness. Meaning, whatever I don't have, or whatever I'm still waiting for, or whatever is not yet in my life, you, God, have still been so good to me. And I receive his faithful goodness through gratefulness. And then we just finish with whatever we do, I have fresh purpose in Christ. You guide me. In other words, and whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord. Meaning, you probably are going to have a bad day from time to time at work. Or you have to do something that you don't love to do. It's the most normal human thing to do. God, I'm going to do what I do today for you and for your namesake and glory. You guys stand with me. We're just going to finish out here. Team, you guys can come up. We're going to finish with communion. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to just invite you to come and grab the elements, and I'm just going to ask you to hold on to them. Sometimes we'll just take it right away. This morning, we're just going to take this moment to receive the elements all together. So I'm going to invite you just to come down the middle aisle, come grab the elements, and then you can go back around the side and back to your seat. And we're going to receive communion together. And then our team, we're going to finish in worship. So you guys come, if you will, come down the middle. Come receive the elements. If you're here, you're a follower of Jesus, you're fully invited. If you don't know Jesus yet, you don't have to partake here. Well, you can just watch and observe. There's no pressure if you're not ready to take communion this morning. But grab the elements, hold on to them, and take them back to your seat. And then we're going to receive all together. Okay, we're just going to do literally what the scripture calls for us to do. And now we'll just, would you do this before the Lord, just between you and the Lord? Would you put off, put to death the old self? And the way we do this, just share with God, confess, hey, here are the things that have been broken in me. Maybe it's this year, maybe it's just this week. This to you as my act of worship, oh God. Here are the places where I've tried to live on my own. And we offer that to you as our act of worship, oh God. And now we receive righteousness first. We thank you for your body that was broken. As we hold this bread, we recognize that your body was torn so that we could be made whole. So we receive not our own righteousness, we receive yours, your rightness, your perfection, your broken body so that we might be perfect. By your stripes, we are healed and saved. Restored, given hope and life. Jesus, we thank you for your body that was broken. In your name we pray. Amen. Let us receive. And now we receive, Jesus, your precious blood that washed us, that cleansed us, that made us white as snow, that delivered us from a life of brokenness and transferred us into the kingdom of light. We thank you that you've established a covenant that is unbreakable, that you hold by your mighty power, and you draw us near and allow us to live in the fullness of your life. Our life is hidden with you. And the life that we have is now this beautiful life we live by faith in you because you loved us and you gave yourself up for us. We thank you for your blood that has washed and conquered all. It's in your name we pray.